There once was a man who was absolutely obsessed with a famous actor. He had seen every movie that this actor made, every single one of them. He could quote every single line from memory, and he knew the actor's birthday, he knew the favorite food, he knew the name of his pets. And his friends joked that if there was a quiz show about this celebrity, he would win hands down, no problem. One day, the man found out that the actor was going to appear at a charity event in his hometown. So the man got really excited, rehearsed what he would say when the moment came, and finally stood face to face with his hero. He said, "Sir, I have followed your career for years. You're my favorite actor. I know everything about you." The actor smiled politely and said, "Oh, that's kind of you, but I'm sorry. Do I know you?" And in that moment, the super fan realized the truth. He had known about the actor his whole life, but the actor never knew him. This type of thing can happen to us, where we like something that a person does, or we follow them on the socials or whatever it might be, but this could happen to us. And maybe it's happened to you before, but this isn't an exact copy of a story, but it's one that kind of connects in my own life. This summer, I went to Indiana, at Marion, Indiana, where University of Indiana Wesleyan is. That's not the way that word is said. It's Indiana Wesleyan University. That's where my son goes to college. I was there for some meetings. And while we were there for some meetings, our general superintendent, who is like the leader of the Wesleyan church through and through, was at the meeting. And I've heard about this gentleman for a number of years, heard about him when he was a pastor in Michigan, and then he became the dean of the Wesleyan Seminary in Indiana. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool that he's there for a low-level type of meeting. Why is he here? But he just wanted to be there to encourage and bless and just be just learn while we were all learning as well. And our paths crossed. And I'm thinking, you know, I should say hi. Let's introduce myself, right? I know more about him than I should just because I followed. So I introduced myself. "Hi, my name is Chopper." He's like, "Oh, great. Fantastic." And then I told him, and he asked where I was a pastor at, because he knew that everybody at the event was a pastor and things like that. And I literally did tell him, you know, "I've known about you as a pastor for a long time, and he is very well known in our denomination. And I wanted to thank him for the ministry that he has done and the ministry that he has done at headquarters, and his leading of our denomination, because he's retiring really soon." And so I offered those things, and I walked away, and I'm like, you know, he doesn't know me from Adam, but he was so generous and so kind that he would hear this crazy guy named Chopper talk to him about something. But we can do these types of things where we can follow someone, we can have a conversation with them, and they might not know us from Adam. But the question always is, do we really know them? We're going to talk about that today. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. But before I read that, you can open up your Bibles to that passage. We close out this series called The Narrow Path today. This is the final message in our series and the book that we've been working through, written by Rich Velotis. And it has drawn us to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. And I sincerely hope that you have been more than encouraged as we've worked through this series. More than encouraged. My actual hope is that you have been challenged and are taking strides in your relationship with Jesus, maybe steps that you've never taken to before, and steps that are leading you closer and closer to Jesus, where you are willing to surrender everything of who you are to Him. That's my hope. That's been my hope all along, and I have been really burdened by this as we started this series, because when we do this thing called a relationship with Jesus, it is much deeper than just knowing about God, knowing about Jesus. It's really about getting to the nuts and the bolts of knowing Him, not just about, but knowing Him intimately. And so today we close out the series. One final message from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will say to them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" When we get right down to it and we look at the Sermon on the Mount as a whole, we could probably say that this is one of the climactic moments of the Sermon on the Mount. This passage comes right before the parable of the wise and the foolish builders that we've talked about a little bit before. And it's Jesus's closing within the Sermon on the Mount, a final warning, if you will, of just don't hear the words of the kingdom, but to live them. Jesus is contrasting a religious appearance with genuine obedience and relationship. And he gives us a warning. And it's a warning against false security. See, this is the issue. It's an issue of the danger of emptiness. Following Jesus is not about enough. That's what these folks, when they come to Jesus, "Didn't we do this? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we perform miracles? Didn't we exorcise demons? Didn't we teach in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles?" Following Jesus is not about enough. Enough is not the end goal, because if it were, we would be measuring anything and everything. We would be measuring how often we do this or that, or how often we go here or go there, and we would continuously be looking for enough, but that's not what it's about. What we would be doing is we would be measuring, and we would find ourselves coming up with emptiness. We'd be measuring how often we go to church as if that's what matters most. It's not attendance. That's important. But it's not how many times we've gone to church over the course of our lifetime. It's not how much we are present on Wednesday nights. It's not about measurement, because that will come up with emptiness. And a couple of examples that we could use. Jesus says and talks about words, a confession without surrender. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" They call him Lord, and honestly, when we look at that word, that's good theology. To call Jesus Lord, Master, Savior, God. That's good theology. But when they don't obey him, what's that called? Hypocrisy. They know the right words to say, but they choose not to follow. Hypocrisy. Their mouths say, Lord, Lord, but their hearts say, me, me. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus is impressed with good sounding religious verbiage? That's words. Does Jesus care and is he impressed with our good sounding religious words? Do you think that Jesus cares about what we say, or do you think he cares about our hearts? Faith that doesn't lead to a surrendered heart is empty. Faith that doesn't lead to a surrendered heart is empty. And if it's all this, empty. Another example is works. The people say back to Jesus, he says, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not do mighty works? Religious success doesn't equal spiritual health. They had ministry power. They had ministry works. They had ministry results, but not a relationship with him who it matters most to have a relationship with. Preaching in the name of Jesus doesn't mean that we necessarily know him. Leading doesn't mean that you love him. And serving in his name doesn't mean that you belong to him. They did miracles for him, but they never walked with him. And in their situation, it's possible to use the name of Jesus as a brand and not a banner of belonging. And that is the definition of religion. And religion is like having a brand new power tool. I know some of you guys love your power tools. Chop saws and table saws and drills and all that stuff. Amazing. But if they're not plugged in, they're impressive, but they're lifeless. They're impressive, but they're lifeless. And that is what religion without relationship is like. It's like a tool that has power, but it's never plugged in, and it's lifeless. And that ends up in an empty relationship. And Jesus' response is, I never knew you. And that is probably the most devastating words that Jesus ever said. Think about Jesus' life. Think about all the stories that you know throughout Scripture. Can you think of other words that are more devastating than, I never knew you. Depart from me. I can't. I mean, he spoke harshly to the Pharisees. But these are people that claim to know him, claim to know and to work and to be connected to him. But he tells them, depart. Notice that Jesus didn't say, you fell away. He didn't say, you did wrong. He didn't say, you messed up. He didn't say you didn't do enough. He didn't say you didn't do enough. He didn't say that you lacked Bibles, lacked devotionals, lacked worship songs on your playlist, didn't go to enough Christian concerts, didn't watch enough movies with good Christian themes, didn't say enough Christian, didn't have enough Christian themed clothing. He didn't say any of that. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have Christian-themed clothing, that's fine. You can go to Christian movies, enjoy them. You can have go to Christian concerts, all that stuff. That stuff isn't what is important, so please don't criticize me for saying that it's not, that I'm not saying it's bad, okay? Let's just cover that all up, all right? Are you with me? But the idea is Jesus didn't say, that's not what you did. But Jesus says, I never knew you. That's different. That means that there's no connection, nothing, surface level at best. No depth. True relationship is completely lacking, not enough of anything. And I know I used the word enough right there, didn't I? No presence with Jesus. And here's the thing. There's a massive difference between knowing about and being known. Knowing the resume of Jesus is not it. Knowing where he says X, Y, and Z in John's gospel is not it. Knowing how many miracles were performed, knowing how many messages were taught, knowing how many times the confrontation took place with the Pharisees, or knowing X, Y, and Z about the rest of the Bible, that's not what he's saying is important. Knowing about Jesus and all his stats, just knowing about God, knowing about the Holy Spirit, to know that the knowing that Jesus is talking about is an intimate, relational knowledge of the one who created you. It's not about facts, but it's about fellowship. It's about intimacy and truly knowing him. And this Sermon on the Mount is drawing us to him. Not drawing us to salvation, because that's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is this is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, where we choose to walk the narrow path that looks completely different from the rest of the world, where we choose to follow with hearts that are surrendered to him and him alone, and nothing else takes precedent. That's what we are talking about here. Is where our hearts, our minds, our souls are drawn to him, and we let that life live through us. His power, his authority. That's what we're after. That's what we're hoping for. John 17:3 says this, "Now this is eternal life, that you may know you, that they may know you." I need to learn how to read today. "That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is knowing God, knowing that Jesus was sent by Christ, by God, and that he is the Messiah. It is intimate. It is personal. There is depth to this relationship. There's desire that is indicated here, because you desire to have that relationship, an intimacy that is deep, an intimacy that is knowing one another. If you had a friend and you've only ever talked for 1 hour, could you call them a good friend, a best friend? Could you be married and only have a relationship with that person for 1 hour? That would be a different marriage, wouldn't it? Intimacy means more than that. The root problem in all of this is when Jesus says, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness," or "Depart from me, you lawless ones." And when he's talking about the lawlessness, what he is suggesting is that is living without submission. That is doing religious things while rejecting God's authority. They may have called Jesus Lord, but they're living as if they are their own masters. Interesting thing that I read this week is that our greatest danger is not atheism, but self-deception. Our greatest issue, greatest danger is not atheism that comes to us from the outside, but it is our own deception of knowing God. And so here's the point. Here's the point in all of this as we kind of wrap up our series here is that our Sermon on the Mount that we have been talking about is a call to intimate surrender. And the first thought is to examine our hearts. Take stock in where your heart is. This has been a theme for the last number of weeks when we talked about treasures, when we talked about what we talked about last week, and it's escaping my brain for just a moment, but every time that we talk about something, we have been taking stock on where our heart truly is. Is it after things or is it after Christ? Is it after Jesus? Are we pursuing him with everything that we are? And that's what he's drawing us to. So we examine our hearts. Where are we truly at? Second is we abide. Jesus said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." To abide is to remain. To remain connected, receiving the life-giving nourishment like that of a branch in a tree. A branch can only stay connected and bear fruit if it is connected to the tree that gets the life-giving nourishment. And you and I are much the same way. We have to remain connected and abide in Jesus in order for us to bear fruit. It's always about a relationship with Jesus where we are intimately knowing him for fruit to bear, for life-changing, life-bearing fruit to be a part of who we are. Abide, remain, stay connected. Do all that you can to be in relationship with him. And finally, obedience. Proof of an evidence that we are willing to go to the furthest degrees to do the will of the Father. When I think about obedience, it does more than just reveal our heart It reveals our willingness to trust him in the most difficult circumstances. Where when we are challenged the most with temptation, with struggles, with difficulty, that we would say, nope, I'm going to follow him. I am going to say no to that because I want what's best. I want what is true and honest and loving. And so I'm going to be obedient to him and him alone. And it's obedience is the promise of salvation. So we examine our heart. How is your heart? How's your abiding? And are you willing to be obedient? The truth is that each of us could know a lot about church, but miss Jesus. We can know a lot about ministry, but miss the master. And we could know a lot about scripture and miss the Savior. But Jesus is calling us. He's calling us to an intimate relationship. He's calling us to abide in him. He's calling us to know him. To know him. And let me be really honest. It's not about what we have done for him, but it's whether or not we have walked close to him. That's what matters most. Walking close, being with him. I want to close our time together with just a little bit of silence. But before I get there, I want to just remind us that as we've come to a close within this series, there is a chapter and an afterword that is really solid, and I invite you to read it on your own, make some notes, see how it might challenge you. But I also want to encourage you that this book and this study that we've been dealing with for the last 7 weeks is one that you can pick up again or share with someone and encourage them and challenge them. And allow this book to not replace, but to help and to guide. That's what it's there for. Not to replace scripture, not to replace our personal relationship with Jesus, but one that can help us along the way. And we can share it with others. That'd be awesome. Because I think that when we get so the nuts and the bolts of it is it's about Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. That's what's mattering most. Okay? So take those with you. But today as we close, just some quiet time, a few minutes of quiet, where I want to invite you to just ask some questions of the Lord in prayer. Lord, where is my heart truly? Speak to me and maybe confess. If you are feeling as if you're not where you desire to be, confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry. But then commit to making steps and moving in the right direction. Ask for strength. Ask for encouragement. Okay, so I want to give you just some moments of silence. Go before the Lord, and then I'll come back and we'll chat a little. Father, your word tells us in Psalm 139, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, I realize that there are times when we have walked in ways that we know are not your ways. We have thought in ways that are not your ways. We have acted in ways that are not yours. But we humble ourselves and we come before you and we echo this prayer that your servant, the psalmist, said, and search me, O God. Search my heart. And know if there is any offensive way in me. Search my heart and know and test me and know my anxious thoughts, Lord. We have these things in our lives, but you are the one who knows us in and out. But we desire to know you. We desire to have relationship with you, and we desire that you would lead us in the way of everlasting. Not so that we can say, look at me, but so that we can say we have relationship with you. God, we don't want the words that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount to be words that we ever hear. Away with you. Lord, we don't want that. So God, will you continuously draw us close? Will you give us the reminders that you are present, that you are with us, and that your Spirit, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and guide us and help us? Lord, it's true in other parts of this particular psalm, it says that there is no place that we can go from your Spirit. Not if we go to the heavens, you are there. If we make our beds in the depths, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, you are there. If we settle in the far side of the sea, you will be there. Darkness cannot hide you. Nothing can hide you. And there is no place where you are not. And so God, thank you for that reminder. Thank you that you are the hound of heaven who is consistently and constantly pursuing us. Thank you for that. Thank you for that reminder that you love us so much. And that a relationship with you is possible. Draw us close, Father. Draw us close. Psalm 91 tells us that you will cover us with your wings like a bird that covers their young, because you are our refuge and our strength. Father, will you do that in our lives? Protect us. Guide us close. Draw us to yourself. God, I pray that if there are things that are going on in our lives, that we would surrender them to you today so that we can walk closer with you. To get rid of the things that are distracting us from truly walking with you. Lord, help us to surrender those even right now. Father, if there is something in this room, something in someone's life right now that is a distraction, speak to our hearts and help us to surrender that now so that you can work in our lives, Father God. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And Father, we draw close to you. We pray all these things in your Son's glorious and powerful name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 We're going to close our time with singing, and I'm so glad that you are here today as we close out this sermon series. And as we kind of turn our eyes towards the Thanksgiving season with November coming up next week, my prayer for us is that we would walk from this place today, knowing that he is drawing us close, knowing that we can surrender our lives and follow on the narrow path, and we can walk in thanksgiving over the coming weeks as we pursue him and know that he is faithful. Thank you so much for joining us in worship today. I look forward to every Sunday. I look forward to seeing you all the time, and it's a joy to worship with you. Let's stand and worship together.